Welcome to the Grace Point Church podcast. Here at GPC, we want you to know God, love people, and live sent. From wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message. If you want to learn more about Grace Point, head over to gracepointchurch.net. And now, this week's message.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Congratulations to those of you who are here in this service. You are the elite. You said, you know, an hour of lack of sleep doesn't affect us at all. 9:10 is still my service, and I will be there. I'll just be transparent with you. Here and already caffeinated or awake, so congrats. I'll just be transparent with you. If it were me, I'd be like, ooh, 9:10, we lose an hour of sleep. Yeah, I'll see you at the 10:45 service. So congrats. Hey, good morning, everybody. My name is Devin Arredondo. It's a little strange. If you're new here, this isn't going to mean anything to you. If you've been attending our church for some time, you know that I'm actually our former student pastor. I stepped down in November, and so this feels a little weird for me, but also it's so honoring to be here with you all that Mike would still trust me after stepping down to still bring the word of God to you. And I was actually joking with some people this morning. I wonder how many people know. I know how communication in the church world works. And so I was joking with some people this morning. I wonder how many, like, I'll get up there and say that and then they'll be like, wait, what? He's not our student pastor anymore? I had no idea. I thought I hadn't seen him in a while. But hey, if I could just, very, very briefly, just encourage each of you this morning, because I have no title here. I have no platform anymore, except for, I guess, what Mike has entrusted to me. And I hope and pray, my prayer in all of this and stepping down, my wife and I were like, does that mean we have to find another church? And we were like, I sure hope not. And so I say all of that to say, man, I really hope that this is a reminder to you that we truly believe what we say here on staff, that every member is a minister. And I'm no different than any of you now. I'm just a Grace Point member using the gifts that I feel like God has given me to bless God's church. And some of you at the end of this will be like, well, I don't know if that was a blessing or not. We'll find out. But hey, I hope you know that I truly mean that. It's an honor to be with you this morning. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever felt like the world was sizing you up based off of your seemingly innocent choices? We all do this, right? We assign value to certain things, and certain things, if someone chooses the other thing or takes a different approach, then all of a sudden something as simple as, like, say, ordering a coffee can turn into a personality assessment. If you don't believe me, picture this. We've got a picture of a super sugary Starbucks drink up there. But I just want you to hear it. Put yourself, I'm a visual person, put yourself in this picture with me. You're standing maybe in a Starbucks and you hear the person in front of you say, yes, I'll have a venti, half-sweet, non-fat caramel macchiato with an extra shot of espresso. But let's make that one decaf. Oh, and could you sprinkle just a touch of cinnamon on top? And of course, I need it served at exactly 136 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay, now a lot of you here, you're already making some judgments of this person. You don't know this person at all, but you know everything you need to know about this person, right? If you're here sitting innocently thinking, well, why would we judge this person? Then that's probably something similar to your coffee order. But it doesn't stop here, right? We make these judgments all the time. I find myself making the most judgments when I'm driving my car. There's nothing that will incite judgment from me than little things like when you're in a lane that's ending and someone just decides that I've got to speed up and like go around in this other lane and get back in front of you only to stop at the same red light. I am not proud of this. I'm just being transparent. I have a few times in my life been so annoyed by these people that I will, like, hopefully meet them in the rearview mirror and just, like, give them a little, like, way to go. You got here, like, 5 seconds faster than me, and then I'll feel awful. Like, why did I do that? But Maybe it's something else like bumper stickers. Anyone seen someone driving with a bunch of those tiny rectangles of self-expression and thought, oh, hey, they've got a lot of thoughts about some things and they want me to know those thoughts. If this car was driving in front of you, I bet you might have some type of judgments for them, maybe. Or maybe you would feel judged by them, like, oh, recycling, I probably should do that more. I don't know. Or maybe this next one, which is one of my favorites, because I love this one, because one, it always makes me chuckle, and two, it does make me do some self-reflection. It's like, oh, man, I better back away a little bit. Do I follow Jesus that closely? Like, Lord, make it true of my life. Now, let's be honest. Those would probably elicit some kind of judgments from you, right? And maybe you're here this morning and you're sitting here and maybe you're kind of like me and you're like, no, not me. I try really hard not to be judgmental. It's something I pride myself on. Man, I really don't want to be judgmental. That's awesome. I'm not saying this sarcastically. Honestly, I truly wish more people would live their lives like that, with a little bit less judgment. But if you could, I exposed myself and said that's kind of my personality. And so if you could, just do a thought experiment for me if you're one of those people. And I want you to think about the people who are super judgmental in your lives. What do you think about them? The irony is that you're probably pretty judgmental towards those people, right? You see, we're all on the same playing field. Some of us are just a bit more aware of it than others, right? And so today, if you didn't catch it by our main text that Andrew read earlier, or by the fact that we're kind of poking fun at judging others, today we're diving into the teaching of Jesus centered around this very concept, this idea of judgment. And all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is putting forth, like, what does it look like to live in this new kingdom that I have announced? And so he's calling his followers, which we now call Christians, how to live. He's calling them how to live in this new kingdom of Jesus, and he talks about judgment. And so I want to read our passage of scripture again, and I want to do something that we don't always do here, but when we do it, I always find that I enjoy it. And so I want to stand together as we read this. So let's stand together. And we do this because it's just a physical reminder of our spiritual posture when we open up God's word, that this is something truly special. These are the words of Jesus, not just any other book. And so let's read this together. The words of Jesus in Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and have a seat again. And so Jesus begins this section of his Sermon on the Mount with a pretty famous line, right? Matthew 7, 1, do not judge. Do not judge. And this phrase is honestly taken on a meaning all on its own, right? That often people have used to justify all kinds of behavior, right and wrong behavior. Often people who usually want nothing to do with Jesus are very interested in this teaching of Jesus. When I was preparing and reading and praying and thinking, an actual line from a song from Miley Cyrus popped into my head, and I was going to read you all the lyrics, but it's so bad I couldn't read them. But basically, there's a line in her song that says, hey, forget the haters, only God can judge us, right? Like, do not judge. And it's all throughout a different cultural aspects of our world, this idea, do not judge. And often, like I said, people who don't want anything to do with Jesus seem interested in this teaching. Maybe you've heard someone say it to you. Hey, didn't your Jesus guy say, like, do not judge? Right? And he does, right? This is what Jesus says. So we have to do the work to understand what is he talking about. How do we live in this kingdom of Jesus? And he gives us some brilliant ways to understand this. And believe it or not, it's all right there in our passage today. So we're going to take a look at the whole sentence together. And Jesus says this, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm going to read it one more time for us. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And now, when you read it in a full sentence, it makes a ton of sense, right? Jesus isn't necessarily saying, he doesn't stop at do not judge. No, there's a whole nother sentence. What happens when you do judge? You will then be judged with the same measure of which you have judged others. And it's pretty brilliant from Jesus. We've seen this before. In fact, it's saturated all throughout the Bible, all throughout Jesus's teaching. In Mark 12:31, we would all know this verse, or maybe most of us, where Jesus is reminding them of a Old Testament passage that, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same thing in a different way of describing it. It doesn't stop with do not judge. No, Jesus is helping us see that with our relationships, the amount of judgment that we hand out is the amount of judgment we will receive from others. How would you like to be judged by people? I think the honest answer of all of us is graciously, right? We all want to be judged graciously by others. Don't make assumption of the things that I've done to draw conclusions to maybe meanings that I didn't have, right? That's how we would like to be judged. But let's talk about this word judgment for a bit, because it's actually something that's really positive in our lives. Judgment is a really good thing. It's positive in our lives. Something we do every single day that somehow we've shifted it into a very small and one-dimensional aspect of this concept and word that we use, judgment. What do I mean? Let's take, for example, let's say you have a gallon of milk in the fridge and you are just really craving a glass of milk. Now, right now, some of you are judging me. You're like, milk, I would never drink milk. But for our purposes today, let's pretend that everyone loves milk, okay? So, let's continue. You open up the fridge, you discover that your milk is expired by like 2 weeks, right? Everybody say, ew. Yeah, okay, come on now. I know it's early, but everybody say, ew. Like, think about how you would react if you opened up, you're craving a glass of milk, you pull out the gallon and it expired by 2 weeks. Ugh, no. So you make a judgment in that moment, right? You have an opportunity to make a judgment. If the milk is expired by 2 weeks, would you ever open it up and pour yourself a glass? No, right? At least I sure hope not. Or you would make a really bad judgment and decide, you know what? I don't know if they know what they're talking about. Expiration dates are just kind of like guesses. Let me just give it a shot. No, right? That would be a very bad, bad judgment. And this is an example of how we use judgments each and every day to determine whether our actions are good or bad or neutral. Maybe a better word would be decisions or discernment, right? Certainly, when Jesus says, do not judge, he's not saying get rid of all discernment, get rid of all good decisions, get rid of all judgment. That's not what he wants, right? No, of course not. Jesus cares very, very deeply about how we live, and it's displayed all throughout the Sermon on the Mount, all throughout Jesus's teachings. I mean, go back to chapter 5 or chapter 6. Is there any way as Jesus teaches this big Sermon on the Mount, is there any way to deal with anger or lust or integrity or loving our neighbors well without growing in our ability to make good judgments? No. In fact, you could say that an indicator of your relationship with Jesus, how you are being discipled by Jesus' teaching, is how are you growing in your ability to make good judgments? See, being a disciple of Jesus is all about growing in our judgment. So what in the world is Jesus talking about? What does he mean to refrain from judgment? And why is he adamant about conveying this message to his people? Well, let's go back to our funny illustrations about the coffee or the bumper stickers or maybe something else that you find yourself just kind of comically judging others. Have you ever felt unfairly judged by someone based on some assumptions they've made? You ever felt unfairly judged by someone based on some assumptions they've made? Based on something you did, but maybe you didn't mean to do, or maybe it's something you said and they read into the lines and it wasn't at all what you meant. Or someone has attributed ill motives to you when you didn't have those motives at all. They just connected the dots incorrectly and bam, they've judged you. See, when we judge others in this way, it causes us to do something really interesting. And I want to illustrate it using our stepladder here. So I'm going to bring this out and hope that it's sturdy and that I don't end up on like church worship fails or something like that. I don't know if any of you follow things like that on Instagram where, you know, you see the cross on the wall just fall off and take out the drummer. It's never a great thing. But so there's a really interesting phenomenon that we do internally when we judge people, right? Like it's a psychological thing that we do. When we judge someone, all of a sudden we start to feel a little bit better about ourselves, right? So we climb up maybe the first rung and the ladder. Whew, at least I'm not like them, right? Like this is why reality TV is so popular, because I can turn on Love is Blind and look at their relationships and be like, whew, thank goodness I'm not like them. Right? Any Love is Blind people? Don't admit that, maybe here. So you're on this first rung, right? And you're like, man, whew, thank goodness I'm not like them, right? But then something happens even more, psychologically. So then we start to feel better about ourselves. And then we move it from internal to external, right? Meaning we gather some others who we think align with our thoughts, right? And we gather them together and say, hey, look at us. Aren't we pretty good? Look at those people down there. At least they're not like us, right? And we climb up our ladder of judgment and we say, man, whew, thank goodness I'm not like them. But then Christians, we take it a step further. And I don't think we know that we're doing this internally, but I think we would all admit we've done this a time or two. You see, Christians, we take it a step further and we add our theology. We add what we think Jesus says in his word. We add what maybe we've come to an understanding from following Jesus of. And all of a sudden, we're up here casting judgment on all of you down there. It's actually really interesting being up here and seeing all of you actually down there. I practiced this at my house, and there was nobody there. And so now the Lord is like convicting me even more, right? But we're standing up here, and we're like, man, look at all those people down there. Hey, thank goodness we're not like them. And then the thing we do as Christians is we bring Jesus up here with us as if he's on the ladder too, saying, yeah, look at those losers. Jesus, look at that guy, right? I know. How could he do that? When if you know anything about the gospel, that's the exact opposite of what we see Jesus doing. And so, as we think about judgment, we as Christians have to be careful that we don't find ourselves at the top of the ladder, at the top of the rung, because what happens when we get up there is that all of a sudden, what was the love of God turns into a righteousness that has been twisted, a righteousness that has been twisted into entitlement. We start to believe maybe what the Pharisees believed, that I've done all this work. I've made it to the top. I made good judgments. And so all of those people who are making bad judgments, shame on them. And our righteousness turns into entitlement. We justify our judgment. As we pass these judgments, hopefully the absurdity becomes very, very clear, that as our righteousness has turned into entitlement, we recognize that, wait a second, I've put words in Jesus' mouth assuming that he shares my judgments, when in fact he stands beside the very person that I often have judgment of, saying, my child, I love you, come home. My child, I love you, come home. So the question is, how do we avoid becoming this person? And to me, that's what Jesus is teaching in this passage of scripture. It's what it's all about. Jesus tells us, with actually a really comical illustration. Let's continue in our passage of scripture. Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say, brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You see, Jesus was such a master teacher, and he uses this funny illustration. Like, seriously, I told you, I'm a visual person. Visualize this with me. Imagine walking around with like a giant telephone pole stuck in your eye, right? Like, that's a really funny picture. You've got a giant telephone pole stuck in your eye, and you're walking around, and honestly, your head is like way too heavy, and you're trying to figure out how to go throughout life. You can't see anything. You're stumbling around all over the place. And then you have a telephone pole in your eye, and you have the audacity to go to a brother or sister and say, hey, I think you've got something in your eye. Like, you see someone there, and they're maybe like rubbing their left eye a little bit, like, oh man, I can't really see that great. And then here you are with a giant plank in your eye, a telephone pole, and you walk over to this other person and you say, hey, I think there's something in your eye. Do you see the irony here? But this is exactly what we do. We walk around trying to fix others when we have our own issues, we have our own sins, we have our own habits that need attention first. And Jesus has some very serious words. Let's continue. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You see, what Jesus is talking about here is this really important thing called self-reflection. Self-reflection, I believe, becomes the cornerstone of humility. Self-reflection becomes the cornerstone of humility. In Matthew 7:5, it's like Jesus is handing us a mirror, compelling us to examine ourselves before we try to examine others. And I want to be really careful here, because this isn't about self-depreciation. This isn't about self-condemnation, but instead it's about recognizing our shared humanity. That none of us are on top of the ladder. We're all down below. That Jesus is the one who gives us everything we need. That all of our righteousness is from him and him alone. That we're all on the same playing field. We all have our mistakes. We all have our secrets. We all have our sins. We all have them. But Jesus isn't done, right? He's not done. He isn't saying ignore everything, right? Like, the other thing that I want to be really careful here is, this isn't a message that our culture might say that says, hey, do not judge. Like, leave this room and don't ever judge anybody. Everything's okay. No, that's not at all what Jesus says, right? No, he says there's more, right? Jesus isn't done. He doesn't say just stop with self-reflection. Like, that's it. Like, you've self-reflected. Okay. You've remembered that our righteousness is through Christ alone. That's really good. Now stop there. No. Jesus goes on to say, we get to pass that good judgment to others. We get to have those maybe challenging conversations. Get to is probably the wrong word. We have to have those challenging conversations, because Jesus goes on and says, then after you've looked at the
plank in the telephone pole in your own eye, after you've inspected that, after you've asked the Lord to help you deal with that, then you go out and you help others take the speck out of their eye. We pass along good judgment. We pass along this humility and remind others that it's because of the righteousness of Jesus. And now look at this really weird last part of Jesus' teaching in this passage. It feels very random, right? Like Jesus just let some intrusive thought win all of a sudden. Like, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now wait a second, Jesus. You just got done saying, hey, don't judge, and now you're calling people dogs and pigs. This does not make any sense. What is going on? And to be transparent with you, there are numerous disagreements in like the theological circles on this passage of scripture. But I think the one that makes the most sense is the one that honestly keeps you in context, and it reads very similarly to what Jesus is just teaching on. He's keeping the same context, talking about our judgments and our values. Imagine with me, if you have a set of pearls, right? Really precious, valuable pearls. Maybe they were someone near and dear to yours that they passed them down through generations. I don't know why. When I think of pearls, that's what I think about. That like my grandmother had these beautiful pearls and she passed them down to my mother, and then they'll pass them down to someone else one day. I don't know. Those pearls don't exist. But when I read this, that's what I think about pearls. So imagine you take something that has extreme worth to you. Forget about pearls, right? Some of you here are like, I don't value pearls. That's great. Actually, that's better because it helps you understand what Jesus is talking about. So think of something you value highly, right? Like really, really important to you. And imagine it's a physical thing, right? Imagine giving that thing to your dog. How many of you have dogs? Okay. Yeah. I almost said I had three dogs. I have two dogs. Womp womp. One passed away multiple months ago. I have two dogs, and I can't imagine giving anything valuable that I find valuable to them, right? Because they have no value for it. They're going to trample it up and come running after me like, yo, why didn't you feed me, right? This is what dogs would do. The same thing with pigs. I don't have any farm experience, but my parents for a little bit had a farm in Kellyville, and we had pigs. Pigs are really disgusting. They're so dirty, y'all. And some of you, maybe you have some land and you have some pigs and you understand it. I would never give anything that is supposed to be nice or have any valuable. I'd never put it in the pig pen because it would just get covered in slop and the giant pigs would run after me and say, hey, where is my food, right? And this is what Jesus is talking about, right? Why would you give something that you value to someone who has no idea what you're talking about, who has no idea the system of values that you have, who has no idea what you are about? Do not give those values to someone else. So what am I talking about here? What is Jesus talking about here? I think what he's talking about is striking a balance between discernment and condemnation. We have to, as Christians, strike a balance between discernment and condemnation. It is crucial. In my studies, I went through survey after survey of people outside of the church who, hey, what are the first things that come to mind when you think about Christianity and its followers? Every single one of those surveys, whether it was the very top thing or the top three things, judgmental was always in that list. Every single one of them. Judgmental. We have to strike a balance between discernment and condemnation. This isn't about withholding goodness. It's about being wise in how and who we share it with. Just this week, I was driving down my road in Cave Springs. If you follow me on social media, you might have seen a funny video that I posted. Cave Springs in my road, I drive down the street every single day. There were these huge potholes, like everyone, as they're driving, would just drive into the other lane if it was clear and go around them. And they finally fixed these potholes. But in the process of fixing it, they shut down a lane and they put up this sign that said, one lane road ahead. And so I'm stopped at this four-way stop sign. I see that there is a one-lane road ahead, and I have to make a discernment in my mind. Okay, does one-lane road ahead mean that this street is entirely shut off, and I should turn here and go maybe a different way? Or does it mean like up ahead, they've got a sign that says one way, and we're like yielding to each other? And so I decided on the latter. Decided, okay, I bet it's just this little section of road. We're going to yield to each other. The cars over there are going to see, and the cars over here are going to see, and we'll all just like take our turn. No one was coming, so I was totally free and clear, and so I get in the wrong lane to drive down the maybe 60 yards and to get in the other lane. Well, I realized when I've made my discernment, my judgment was incorrect. There were two construction men who were working this side, and they were like setting up some cones on the other side of the road. And they immediately like crawled out of what they were doing and were just like, do you see the road sign that says it's closed? And at that moment, like, if you know anything about me, I'm like the most, like, I do not love conflict. And so I'm like shaking in this moment, like, oh no, I've truly messed up. And I go to roll down my window and be so apologetic. And so I go to do so, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And I roll down the window, and all of a sudden they are just like yelling at me, you idiot, did you see that the road is closed? And now in that moment, though my intention was to say that I was very sorry, I can't believe that I made such an egregious error, I'm such an idiot. Instead, what came out of my mouth was, oh, well, it didn't say road closed, because they begin yelling at me, right? And so I don't know if you've experienced this. Maybe you've had a conversation with someone who you do not know about an error that you've made. Maybe they've confronted you about an error in judgment that you have. It usually doesn't go well, right? You either bow up and get defensive, or you completely shut down. You become demotivated. You sink in on yourself. Like, man, how could I make that mistake? There's no growth there, right? And Jesus is all about growth. You either bow up or get defensive or completely shut down. But now think of the same conversation. Think of someone you trust dearly, someone you have built relationship with, someone you know all of their faults and they know all of your faults. A dear friend or loved one with whom you trust has a similar conversation with you. Hey, I see some things in your life that maybe you need to work on a little bit. See, that conversation goes a lot differently, right? Usually it promotes growth. And there have been time and time and time again where I've had trusted individuals speak that truth to me, and then it motivates me to go back and say, man, Jesus, you're so good. I've got to figure out this sin in my life, or I've got to figure out this area in my life. It promotes growth, but it takes discernment. See, good judgment with discernment. I don't remember where I heard this. It was some teacher at some point that it stuck with me. And maybe it's a good rule of thumb for us to help remember. It's this, and it's kind of cheesy, so just bear with me. But it says, relationships are like bridges. Relationships are like bridges. The bigger the weight, the bigger the bridge. Meaning you have a bridge, right? There's a big old truck that needs to go across the bridge. It better be a big old bridge, right? Maybe in other words, we might say the more challenging the conversation, the more equity and investment there should be. The more challenging the conversation, the more equity and investment there should be. But Christians, you see, we are so bad at this. We want to heap condemnation on others because they may not have the same value system as we do. They might not have they might not view things the same way as we do. And so we want to heap this really challenging conversation like, hey, don't you know about this God fellow who loves you and cares for you, and we want to see good things in you, but we do it with so much condemnation, they'll never hear about our loving Savior because that bridge is not meant to carry that weight. So the question is, what do we do with all of this? Well, I think this right here, meaning us sitting in this room right now today, is an example of what we do with all of this. We come to this room right here in worship. What do I mean? It is in this place, exactly this place right now that we experience this teaching of Jesus taking place in the present moment. See, so often we come to church and it's just a thing we attend. We walk through the doors, we hear some songs, we sing some songs, we hear maybe a good message, maybe it's mediocre, maybe it's somewhere in between, I don't know. And you leave, and we don't really think about the miracle that exists in this room right now. Look around you in this moment. Just take a look around right now. Look around this room. See, everyone in this room is broken. Everyone in this room is sinful, has deep secrets that they don't want anyone to know about. But the beautiful reality is that Jesus knows. Jesus knows those secrets, the deepest, darkest secrets that you would shudder in fear if I were to put them up on the screen with like your name. And we all read them together, right? You'd shudder in fear. The deepest, darkest secrets that you have right now, God knows those things, each and every one of them. And instead of our greatest fears coming true, where we just imagine the Father turning his back on us because we are not worthy, the opposite happens. He looks at our deepest, darkest sins, our deepest, darkest secrets. He looks at them right in the eye, and he looks at us with arms wide open and says, "My child, I love you. I am with you. Come home as you are." There's no fixing yourself. There's no getting up from the muck and mire. It's you're in it, and Jesus comes down to be in it with you. I love you. I am with you. Come home as you are. And as we begin to remember this, it removes all the entitlement, all the judgment that we might feel of others, and it reminds us that our righteousness is through Jesus Christ alone, and it takes our spot of judgment and replaces it with compassion and empathy, and a reminder that, hey, that is me too. But because of the love and blood of Jesus Christ, that is not my story anymore. You see, that is the gospel. It's because of the unconditional love of God that we then get to share that unconditional love for our neighbors. Because this is how we have been judged by the only person who has the right to judge. Rich Velotis, he's an author and a pastor in a city, I can't remember where now, of course, and he writes this. He says, "The story of Scripture in four phrases repeated throughout its pages is this: I love you, I am with you, don't be afraid, you can come home." So if you would, I just want to use this one last time. Because you see, often in our human world, and especially in America, life is all about climbing, right? Everything we do, it's all about earning your way. I'm really good at my job. I work really hard. I don't ever rest. I don't take time off. Like, we celebrate those things, right? And the God of the universe, the one person who had the authority to say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to stay up here and cast my judgment on all of those people down there." The one person who lived a perfect life, who upheld all of the rules, who had every reason to do that. What was his response? He said, "No, let me come down there with my people. Let me descend and be with my people." You see, this is the Christian life. It's not complicated, but it is difficult. It's a constant reminder that our posture is not climbing the ladder. It's not trying to earn success. It's not trying to do all of these things. No, our posture is simply this: to get down in humility and say, "Jesus, it's all because of you. Jesus, it's all because of you. Jesus, it's all because of you." And as we find ourselves in this posture of self-reflection, of humility, reminding ourselves that God is so good to us, we then leave this place, we get up, we go back to our world, and in our jobs and in our regular lives, we continue to descend over and over and over again. As a leader, I'm going to serve the people around me and not worry about a title. As a father, I'm going to continue to serve my children and my wife and not worry about what I feel I should be owed. You see, That's the Christian life. Humility and surrender day in and day out. And if I could, I'm way over time, and so I apologize, but if I could talk to one other person in this room, because I've been there. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a problem with judging others, but you've allowed the judgment of others to tell you that your worth is nothing. Can I just speak to you from the bottom of my heart and say that's a lie? It's a lie. You have so much worth and value because you are a child of God. And if you could just hear those words of that author and the pastor and even Jesus himself, I love you. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Come home as you are. You have so much worth. You have so much value because of who Jesus is. And that's all of our stories. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful for your love for us. God, would your love be the thing that sends us out to others? Lord, would you help us deal with the logs and the telephone poles in our own eyes so that we can be reminded of how you have judged us so beautifully. We'd be reminded of the time you told us that we could come home no matter what. And we would give you praise and glory and honor because this life is all about you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God praise together this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To stay up to date on all things GPC, follow us at Grace Point NWA on Facebook or Instagram. As you go, be people who show and share Jesus in everyday conversations with everyday people. Live sent.